welcome to Go Watch a Movie, episode 24. I'm Kelvin.
And I'm Robert.
Normally would start with a movie phrase or something, but I wanted to go a little bit different. Been feeling a little, what's the word? Positive or motivated? I don't know. Okay. Whatever it is. But I went and saw Kevin Smith this weekend, and he's a director. I'm sure most of you, if you're listening to this, you probably know Kevin Smith. If not, directed Clerks, struck it big from there, did Mallrats, then Chasing Amy, then Dogma, and so on and so forth. So he does these Q&As. An Evening with Kevin Smith. He has a lot of those DVDs out, and he goes to colleges, at first he started going to colleges talking about these things. But he now, since then, he goes to comedy clubs, arenas, and he sells them out with these Q&As. Well, why am I talking about Kevin Smith? Kevin Smith is the reason that I do this podcast. His Smodcast was the first podcast I listened to. And it just inspired me to no end. It was back in 2008, 2009. It had been going on for, I think it started in 2007. And I came in like 64 episodes in. They're on like 300 something now. But great, great podcast. Check it out. But like this guy started, there are the penis and fart jokes. But behind that, you get so much more. This dude's like Willy Wonka when you go to one of his shows. And I say that because, like, you go there and you learn something about yourself. Like, those kids who got that golden ticket and went into Willy Wonka's chocolate factory, they, one by one, the ones who didn't get eliminated, well, Charlie, I guess, is the only one who didn't get eliminated, but he learned a lot. He learned not to be greedy, not to be a brat, not to, you know, so on and so forth. And to overall just do what you have to do to achieve your dream. And that's what Kevin Smith does at these events. And entangled in these sometimes 45-minute long stories are things about like how he started and how hard he chases his dreams and his realizations on how to keep his dream and not to just become a slave to the man. What I mean by the man, the movie mogul machines. And that's why we have a tusk, why we have a yoga hosers, and why we will have a moose jaws. It's because he said he got to a point after Cop Out in Red State and, you know, things just people being disappointed in him, telling him he sucks, telling him he's bad. He's like, but I'm not, because I still have, 3.1 million followers on Twitter, and they all come to my shows. They all enjoy my work. They all, you know, and over most importantly, I enjoy my work. I love what I do. It makes me happy, which is a conversation me and Robert just had. Like, he is happy and getting paid for it. Like, he, you know, paid to make people happy and make himself happy. He made Tusk because he wanted to see what that movie would look like, and he knew nobody else would, you know. So he and he found the funding for it. He found people who trust him to get them paid back. And I mean, I guess what I'm getting to is this dude is like, and all like he get past the stoner stuff. He's still sharp as a whip. Like, you watch Yoga Hosers and you think, whoa, this guy is high as all get out at all times. But no, like he tells these stories from, you know, in his early days of work and how he connected with this person and that person. And his comedic timing is still on point. It's still so there. And like this lady asked him how he felt about the last Star Wars, not Rogue One, but The Force Awakens. And he's like, you want the long answer or the short answer? And she's like, the long answer, because I hated it. And you being a Star Wars fan, I don't see how you could like it. And you could still be a Star Wars fan after watching that. And he goes into this 45-minute story about how he met J.J. Abrams back when he was just starting. Like, he was doing Clerks, just got Clerks to Sundance, and he gave him a T-shirt. And then from then on that point, J.J. Abrams treated him like a friend. And every time J.J. Abrams was doing something, he would invite Kevin Smith to come out and see it. And he's like, that eventually led me to being the voice of a stormtrooper in Force Awakens. And he got to see his childhood dream. He never thought in a million years how he would be one of the blue names in the Star Wars credit sequence, you know, and there he was, because this one little kind gesture to J.J. Abrams when they both were fairly nobodies, you know, like, and things like that, like, just touching, heartwarming, fun stories. And then he ends it with, you find something to that makes you happy, even if you're doing it for free at first, and then find a way to make money off of it. Like, be yourself, never lose yourself, but you do it. Like, this is from that guy who wears a hockey jersey every day and dresses like a cartoon character, which he'll say himself. Jorts a giant hockey jersey with various different crests on him of himself, depending on what he's doing. Like, he captivated a, I don't know how big that arena was, like maybe 1,000 people, but just captivated them no end, had their attention for 3 hours, just standing on stage, telling funny stories and inspirational stories. And I just wanted to say thank you to that dude. And if you get a chance, listen to him, go see him. It's well worth it. And yeah, just made me happy. I promised yesterday on Twitter, whenever on Twitter, that I would tell the story of my feels from that concert. But sorry about that if you weren't interested in Kevin Smith, but just had to get that off my chest. And now to the normal show. Well, kind of normal show. We're going to do monsters today. We have... planned a kind of a monster spectacular, but I dropped the ball and couldn't find a King Kong versus Godzilla 1963 version with English. So we're just going to cover the 2014 Godzilla and the current King Kong Skull Island. I didn't get movie news because I prepared for a monstrous King Kong, but I do have some King Kong facts that I will throw out at you if that works. King Kong facts. So, King Kong has been various sizes. Mm-hmm. In 1933, which was his first appearance, was only 25 feet tall. Just that would be like a mutated gorilla, basically. 1962, in Kong versus Godzilla, which we were supposed to watch, I apologize again, he was 148 feet tall. I guess because Godzilla was so much bigger, he had to get a little bit bigger to... match that size. 1967, Kong escapes. He shrunk again, 66. And I'm assuming this is for that whole dramatic effect where he grabs a woman and she has to fit right in his hands, I'm assuming. 1976, 55 feet. That's just regular King Kong, the retelling. And in the 2005... series, this previous one right before Kong Skull Island, 25 feet again. They shrunk him back down. And Kong Skull Island, 100 feet. So, yeah, he's been going up and down in height. I'm curious to see what they're going to do with this one.
I said he wasn't full height in the movie.
Yeah, he's still a baby Kong. all right. And so we'll go ahead and jump into Godzilla and get back to Kong. So, this one upset me a little early when I first saw it the first time, because they advertised it as Robert Cranston. Like, he was going to be the main guy, and he's going to be the... Oh, watch bot, if you would not mind.
Godzilla is a 2014 American monster film directed by Gareth Edwards and a reboot 5 of Toho's Godzilla franchise. It is the 30th film in the Godzilla franchise, the first film in Legendary's MonsterVerse, and the second Godzilla film to be completely produced by a Hollywood studio, the first being the 1998 film of the same name. Note 1. It stars Aaron Taylor-Johnson, Ken Watanabe, Elizabeth Olsen, Juliette Binoche, Sally Hawkins, David Strathairn, and Bryan Cranston.
Thank you, WatchBot. I don't know, it was 30th in this.
And it was in the 30s.
Jeez.
I thought I had read 33, but 30, that sounds right.
That's insane. So there have been a lot of Godzilla movies. Mm-hmm. But yeah, Bryan Cranston was all over the trailers, posters. And this is me coming off my Breaking Bad binging. I'm like, oh, this is going to be awesome. I love. And he was so great in it, so amazing in it. But like 45 minutes into this 2-hour-long movie, this man's dead. I'm like, what's going on? What happens? Spoiler there. Overall, your thoughts on this Godzilla?
When I first saw it in theaters, I did not like it. Uh-oh. I was really upset with it. Since then, I have a little bit of an appreciation for it, but not massive. I still don't think it's a great movie. It's gotten good reviews, but I just, like, the Robert Cranston thing didn't bother me because I hadn't seen Breaking Bad at the time. Yeah. But the thing that upset me the most was you sit through over an hour before you even see Godzilla.
Yes.
So that's kind of weird. And thankfully, the new Kong movie doesn't make that mistake.
No.
You have to sit through over an hour, and then finally you get a glimpse of him, and then they cut away again. And then you get another glimpse of him, and then they cut away again.
That's one thing that irritated me about this one. Like, the fight scenes were just like either a little glimpse on the TV screen, mm-hmm. or we're going to start a fight and then just cut away to something else without, like, what?
Yeah, I don't understand why they did that. The movie's called Godzilla. You just put Godzilla in it.
The kaijus, can I call them kaijus?
Yeah, I think they were called mutos, but kaijus work.
They got more screen time than Godzilla did.
I was just about to say that. It was kind of weird. And I didn't really care about the human characters. There really wasn't anything that really made me feel anything.
He was still the most important person, even though he died early. Mm-hmm. Like, because he discovered this whole mystery of mutos.
Yeah, you're called mutos, something like that. I can't remember. But yeah, I don't know. I just didn't really care for it at the time. It was visually stunning.
Yes,
visually it was great.
What did you think of him?
I didn't like the way Godzilla looked.
Like a fat teddy bear.
He was too big on the bottom and too small on the top. I think his head was too small. But like I said, after looking at him and kind of getting used to him, mm-hmm. it doesn't bother me as much. But I think he was too bulky. But I didn't like how slim he was in the last Godzilla movie.
The 1998 one?
Whichever one he looked like.
1998, as WatchBot said.
Yeah, it was like, I didn't like the way he looked at that when he was too, I mean, they changed his design completely. Like, his head was bigger and way too big. And then he was too, like, either a Tyrannosaurus or a Velociraptor or something.
Or an iguana, almost.
Yeah, I just didn't like what they did with it there. But I guess if I had split the two, maybe you'd get somewhere where I'd be happy with the way Godzilla would look.
And I did like when he was underwater in this one. Like, he's so menacing, those huge spikes just tearing through the ocean. But one thing I did love about this one is the opening credit sequence. Like, they're showing how you discover Godzilla exists, and they're redacting official notes. Those are the credits. They're blacking out people's names, and you're seeing images of this Godzilla in 1954, where they try and nuke him, you know. And it's pretty dang cool the way they do that. So this is going to be a mismatch, because we all know, if you don't know, here's some entertainment news for you. Godzilla and King Kong, that Godzilla and this King Kong from Skull Island will be meeting here in the future. It's the MonsterVerse, as they call it, Legendary Films MonsterVerse, which I think is fantastic. Yeah. But he's millions of years old, apparently, this variation of Godzilla. So Baby Kong, even though he's getting some training, he's going to be at a, you know.
Yeah. Well, is this going to be a versus? Is it Kong versus Godzilla?
Yeah.
It is. I don't really want to see that.
It's been confirmed for 2020.
I don't really want to see that.
That's what's
good. I don't want to see Kong versus Godzilla, because they're both kind of the heroes in the movies.
Yes.
I mean, the Godzilla movie, again, we're jumping back and forth, but
yeah.
The Godzilla movie is like, I mean, they don't really represent him as the bad guy, kind of in the middle, in the beginning, because you don't know what's going to come out of that reactor thing. Yeah. When it's not him, that's kind of a disappointment.
Yes, it was.
But you. he's the hero of it, and then you figure out in the same way. I don't want to ruin Kong, but I just ruined it. Kong is same thing. He's like, they're treating him kind of as a villain in the beginning, very beginning, but then you realize he's actually the good guy.
And they literally, in Godzilla, like the, I can't think of his name now, but the head scientist, the head monarch guy, he's like, he's the alpha predator. He's here to keep order to, mm-hmm. you know, to the world.
And they're both doing the same thing, Godzilla yeah. and Kong.
Mm-hmm.
So why would you want to see two heroes fight each other? I hope it's going to be, okay, they're going to represent it. As like in the trailers and everything, like Kong, you know, King Kong versus Godzilla. But then there's going to be something bigger and badder that they're going to have to team up and take down.
Yeah,
that's what I hope I see.
Which,
because even Kong isn't that as big as Godzilla.
But now that's where I was going to get to.
Okay,
Godzilla is set in 2014 because that's that time. It came out in 2014 and it's set in 2014. King Kong is 1974. Okay. So Kong has
time to grow.
Math. to grow. So
and if it'll be a younger Godzilla, maybe he's not as big. I don't know.
Yeah, it depends on when they mash him up. I'm not sure if King Kong versus Godzilla will be the next, but I think it will be because 2020 is not too far away. But yeah, that's you know, so hopefully, even though we see we'll get to King Kong. But so Godzilla, I do like the mystery they kind of get throw you because we see these bones of this old Godzilla in the beginning of the movie, and there's these two egg sacs inside of it. Now, I could be dumb for thinking this. I thought, oh, maybe that was maybe Godzilla coming mm-hmm. out of there, which, as you said, it crawled to the reactor, and that was a disappointing thing because it was not. It was this weird-looking kaiju.
Yeah, the needle things, I didn't like their design
not
whatsoever.
At all.
I hated them.
I did, too.
I didn't think, I don't know. I don't want to knock the, I mean, people who came up with that, I mean, they probably worked really hard.
Oh, exactly, yeah.
You know, I don't want to just say, you guys sucked, but I didn't like that design. It just looked, I don't know.
Yeah.
Didn't look real.
I agree. Yeah, I'm the same way. I don't know what they were going for. I did like the, actually, no, you know what? I didn't like that. I was going to say I did like the EMP thing. But yeah, these things could make their front claw talon things glow, and then when they stomped, they shot out EMP, and I'm assuming that's because they ate radiation is how that's supposed to be, which I thought was weird. And like that was a theory when I was watching it again recently. I was like, maybe Godzilla is not protecting, he just wants some radiation from them. but that's not the case, because otherwise he probably would have ate him, and he just basically beat the crap out of him and got, you know, went back in the water after a nap. But one of the most beautiful scenes in this movie does not involve a monster at all. It's that halo drop. And they parachute out mm-hmm. of, oh my God. And it was in the trailers, I think, and like a little short they released. But these guys leap out of the plane, these soldiers who are going down to stop a bomb that America planet. I don't know why they thought that was a good idea, but and everything's silent, and then they start ripping through these clouds, and there's like this rising slowly, and then you see the bottom view, and it's like they're diving into freaking Dante's Inferno. They're just going down and down, and it's just gorgeous. And then they go past Godzilla fighting a kaiju, you know, Muto kaiju, whatever, it doesn't get me in trouble. And you see them like falling down, and it's just beautiful, like gorgeous, gorgeous freaking shot. Now, Monarch, this organization, what do you think of that? Like, I think it's cool how they tie it together in the two movies. Mm-hmm. And maybe we should save this session for Kong because it's more prevalent now.
Yeah, kind of explains more. But I mean, yeah, you don't really get a whole lot.
Yeah,
you don't think too much about it until later, and then you're like, "Oh, this is bigger than you think it is."
But yeah, so like, my whole question is, why would the government cover this up? Like, they tried to nuke this thing. Maybe they thought they killed it. I don't know, but like, I guess the fact that they didn't find a 300-foot carcass should have told them they didn't kill it.
They're always trying to cover things. Like, governments are always trying to cover things up. They don't want to create mass hysteria.
X-Files.
So they're always covering it. That doesn't surprise me. Yeah.
Yeah, I don't know. I just think, like, you have something that massive, you would want to, like, I don't know. And one thing I noticed, like, and I don't know if this was, like, a hint towards, like, somebody found out this government secret and started making, like, the fake Godzilla world exists in the movie world, real Godzilla movie world. I don't know if that makes sense, because, like, the kid had a poster of Godzilla fighting one of the Mutos. And I was like, wait, what? Like, and it looked just like, you know, how it looked. So I don't know if they were trying to say maybe these things. Like, I don't know if that was just, hey, look at this little Easter egg or what. But yeah, Godzilla, I don't know. What do you think of the plan, like, to put a nuke on a boat, sell it away as far as we can, and leave them there, and they'll die from the blast?
Yeah, I didn't really think that was a good plan. I think I watched something on YouTube that was, like, all the things wrong about this movie. And that was one of the things they explained, like, why didn't they just get it beforehand?
Yeah.
They could have gotten it before one of them could fly. Mm-hmm. And then they could have gotten it before he got to his destination. And then somehow all those giant monsters end up in the same spot at the same time. It just wasn't realistic.
Yeah, because it just literally, like, they don't even start the... They start the bomb, and the next thing you know, the flying one just drops in and takes it and flies off. It's like, what do you think was going to happen? Like, it can fly. Like, and the... Where they were keeping the female. So it's this apparent nuclear waste thing in Nevada, Las Vegas, Nevada, outskirts of Nevada. And there's all these rooms where there's nuclear bombs dismantled and, you know, containers of nuclear waste. And apparently this egg was in one of those rooms. And then they go to open the slider and there's bombs in this one. Slider, waste in this one. Slider, sunlight. Like, it had ripped out the back of this secure facility and nobody knew? Like, are you serious?
Yeah, there's a lot of holes in this movie.
Like, there's a huge game. I don't know. You would think there would be alarms and everything. I don't know. But Godzilla killing the female at the end is one of my favorite things. I like that. That was, he breathes down its throat, you know, his I don't know what kind of beam. I was going to say laser. That's not laser.
What did you think of how his body
kind of tail lit, charges?
Lit up as he...
That was kind of weird.
Yeah.
That was a little weird. But
I do like that scene. That was pretty sweet.
But
now that you actually got to see Godzilla do something, it's pretty nice.
Exactly, yeah.
Read the whole movie to see him do that and then, like, backtail somebody into a building.
he was getting his butt handed to him. If it wasn't for the people, he would have probably lost that fight. But I guess they realized he was here to help. Godzilla. I was hoping Godzuki would make an appearance. Remember a little Godzuki? But then he, like I said, takes a nap after he beats them both and then just crawls on out of there. And I gauge his height. I think he's like 300 or 400 feet because I was watching that fight scene closely. They said the female was 300 feet. And she was a little bit at his mouth. So he's about that same height. So King Kong, if he's 100 foot, like Entertainment Weekly said, that's where I got all those measurements from, then he has a lot of growing to do. So, yeah, Godzilla, I don't have much else to say about that one. What about you, Steve?
No, I just didn't care for it.
Yeah, it was... I mean, a good origin story, at least.
Overall, I don't know. I just have bad memories of that movie. I wish it would have been something. I don't know.
It could have been better. Are you a fan of the Godzilla King
Kong? I'm not a fan of Godzilla in general. I mean, I like Godzilla movies, but I'm not like, I haven't seen all 30-some movies.
Gotcha. Yeah, because there was another one that came out just last year, Shin Godzilla, and it was supposed to pay homage to the older ones. Like, it was the big dude in the suit walking all slow. I never saw that one, but because I'm not that much of a fan of Godzilla. But King Kong, on the other hand, we're going to go to some bottom from the promos, and I'll tell you all about King Kong after that.
Hi, everybody. It's Knock.
I'm Sam.
Rah-Rah.
And Wave.
of the Geek Yogurt Podcast, and we would like to invite you, cordially invite you, to participate in our premium flavors this
week. Talk to me.
It's a new segment that we are doing all this year. Every month we'll do a different movie. It is a monthly movie review and determination for recommendation. We'd like to show you, give you some movies that we think you should see that maybe you missed. And this week we have NOC-nominated League of Extraordinary Gentlemen. It's based on a graphic novel from Alan Moore. So hopefully you can tune in and enjoy it. Sean Connery. It's good! And also, on the back half of that, Sam,
Beach,
Wave, and Ra-Ra, we discussed the Dunkirk prologue that was attached to Rogue One.
Dunkirk.
So tune in for that. Hope you enjoy, and we'll see you around.
Woohoo! And we're back. Let's go ahead and get the trailer, sir. All right. I'll go first. I may steal yours. I don't know, because this trailer looked amazing, and I'm hoping everyone saw it. Atomic Blonde. Charlize Theron. Made by one of the co-directors of John Wick, and it looks very John Wickish. She is a assassin, hit woman, agent. Don't really know what she is, but she is like getting nitty-gritty fighting, like, it's John Wick style combat, and they show her escaping from some facility in the trailer, and it's a Red Band trailer, so she's like, it's all legit, you don't miss a beat. Atomic Blonde, I recommend checking that one out soon.
I'm going to recycle because I've already used this one, but I'm going to, because it's a giant monster extravaganza, I'm going to go with Colossal again.
Yes.
So it just makes sense to me to put this one in here. If you haven't already seen it, check that one out.
I did watch this trailer and it looks amazing.
Did you like it? Yeah. And that way her character is somehow controlling this giant creature that's destroying the city. I don't know what's going on. It just looks weird and fun, so I'm excited about it.
As am I. That one looked, I love the different take on monsters. But, and they don't show the monster really, do they? They kind of give you a glimpse on TV.
They give you a glimpse of them.
Yeah.
You should kind of dance a little bit.
Yeah, that's true. that'll bring us to Kong, Skull Island. Watchbot, I said that'll bring us to Kong, Skull Island.
Kong, Skull Island is a 2017 American monster film directed by Jordan Vogt Roberts and written by Dan Gilroy, Max Borenstein, and Derek Connolly from a story by John Gaddins. The film is a reboot of the King Kong franchise and serves as the second film in Legendary's Monsterverse. It stars an ensemble cast consisting of Tom Hiddleston, Samuel L. Jackson, John Goodman, Brie Larson, Jing Yan, Toby Kebbell, John Ortiz, Corey Hawkins, Jason Mitchell, Shea Whigham, Thomas Mann, Terry Notary, and John the 100th Riley. The film follows a team of scientists and Vietnam War soldiers who travel to an uncharted island in the Pacific and encounter terrifying creatures and the almighty Kong.
Okay, so, Kong Skull Island. We get to see Kong almost immediately, which I love. Mm-hmm. What are your thoughts on this movie?
The opening scenes were pretty amazing. I like how the first thing you see is this guy falling, and then you're like, what's really going on? And then you hear a plane crash, and you kind of already figure, if you've seen the trailer, you kind of already figured out who it was.
Yeah.
And then he takes off his little, whatever, flight mask, and you see it's a younger version of the, you know, the actor later in the movie.
Yeah.
And then you see a little battle happen between these two guys, another plane crashes, and that was super fun. And then you see him running through the jungle, and then all of a sudden, you know, they're on a cliff, and then there's Kong. It was like, thank you. Thanks for giving me Kong right away. The first thing I thought of was like, Godzilla, why didn't you do that?
Yeah, and that was a nice little fight scene, too, like, because was a Japanese fighter pilot?
I believe so.
Falls down, yeah, World War II. Falls down and has a katana. I don't know if they all carry katanas.
I don't know, but I'm glad he did.
Yeah. But, yeah. Overall thoughts of Kong Skull Island?
I thought it was really, really good. I think it did a giant Munchkin movie right.
Oh, nice.
Come after Godzilla, and that one did a bit much better job.
Like, and I'm wondering if, since WB partnered with Legendary on this one, if they took a note from the Marvel method, because we all know how brooding and dark Superman versus Batman was. Godzilla was kind of that same way. This one was, like, super lighthearted. Like, it, you know, I don't know if you noticed, like, the, all the comedy and...
Didn't the guy that did Monsters, that popular giant monster movie, it doesn't have hardly any monsters in it, to Godzilla. Which might explain why Godzilla wasn't in it.
So, yeah, that's true.
I agree with you, absolutely.
But, yeah, it was very, like... So some of the soldiers' jokes were misses for me.
Yeah, but I think all of them were.
Yeah. They were reaching, like, pushing real hard for you find that guy funny. And
you know your mother?
Anyway. Well, dear Billy. yeah. But other than that, like, I think John C. Reilly does John C. Reilly great. He's funny. You're a bunch of good fellas to die down here with. and Loki. What do you think of Loki?
I found it weird that they cast him as the macho hero in this movie. They kind of did the same thing in Predators where they had, oh, I can't think of his name now. Uh-oh. Guy from, we just watched The Jacket.
Adrian Brody.
Yep, Adrian Brody. Yeah. You don't really see him as the main action star in the movie, but yet he pulled it off in Predators.
Yep.
And he did the same thing in this movie. He did play the hero, even though I think he was a little too perfect. He was always standing perfectly, like in a macho pose, like staring off into the distance, like he's about to do something. But he never does. But other than that, I did like his character.
He honestly didn't do much, did he?
Mm-mm. At the end, he did a little bit.
Yeah, but. I mean, what? You're right, though. Now that I'm looking back, like he just stood there looking all glistening and look at me.
Yep, this tight blue shirt on. He just wanted to look cool.
So I'm gonna do a little throw a curveball at you. This one compared to 2005's King Kong.
Well, they're very different. Actually, Brody's in that one too.
Yeah, he was the main guy in that one.
He was in that. Well, you know, I think I like this one. I think a little bit better than I like that one. Yeah. That one's more the traditional story of Kong.
Yes, very much so.
As opposed to what this one was. Yeah. But I like the fresh take on this one.
Yeah.
And there's a few scenes in that other Kong, like the whole dinosaur scene.
Oh, that's T-Rex fight.
Yeah. There's a lot of scenes in there. Even when they're like running through the there's like a crowd of dinosaurs. I hope I'm remembering the correct movie.
Yeah.
It's like
you're right.
That was like I could have done that a little better, but it wasn't bad for what it was.
Mm.
But this one, I think there was errors in that one, where in this one I didn't find as many, so I think I prefer Kong Skull Island over the other.
Same here. I still hold that that T-Rex fight with Kong, just like that's a fantastic fight scene.
Mm-hmm.
And he just kicks major butt. And there's the new Kong ride at Universal. It incorporates that, like it's so cool. You're on a subway or some kind of train and you're going through the jungle and all of a sudden that fight breaks out and they're like fighting all around you and it incorporates the 4D and you're moving all it's pretty dang cool. But yeah, overall I'm gonna say I prefer this Kong more so, because Samuel Jackson, like that dude went another level for me. As far like, I love him in Kingsman, but like he makes you hate him like mm-hmm. nobody's business. Like he can pull that off so easily. Like it's like almost a second nature to him. And I was watching an interview with him on a radio show I listened to. But he, so a guy asked him, he's like, "So do you like being the guy that's hated?" And he's like, Oh, yeah. I love to walk out of theater and someone, you know, see someone walking by me and they're like, oh, I hate you. And they call me one of my names, one of the characters I played. Like, I did my job. Right. You know, job well done. And he's also the one, he kind of let it spill. He didn't say exactly that Legendary or Warner Brothers told him this, but he's like, yeah, Kong's just a baby. He has a lot of growing to do, so that'll get ready for, you know, Godzilla. But yeah, I liked him in this a lot. And I can't wait for the jokes, because like in Deep Blue Sea, when the shark ate his arm, Chappelle screamed that. You see Deep Blue Sea? A shark ate me! But what do you think of him in this?
I thought he did really good. He was a great character.
He wasn't
all your typical, you know, Sam Jackson.
No.
Because usually he's kind of the same character.
Yeah.
You get a little bit different in him. So I think he
it's like a Captain Ahab, almost. You know, that he want that white well.
I liked his staring scene when he first encounters Kong.
Him versus Kong.
He's just staring at him like.
He's not scared of him at all.
I don't know what he's thinking right now. Like, I'm going to get you.
And Kong looks back like, bring it. Bring it, son. What do you think of Kong? Like, as far as, I guess all around,
I enjoyed him. The special effects were great in this, just like they were in Godzilla. I did wonder, he's so huge, I wanted to see him walk like an ape more.
He always was up.
Yeah, he's always upright like a man. Like, every once in a while, sure, upright as a man, but he was always upright like a man. I wanted to see him walk like an ape a little more, because he was so big and hunky.
Yeah.
I mean, I would have expected him to have to, you know, hunch down and rest a little more.
Because gorillas don't always walk upright.
No, but outside of that, yeah, I like Kong. What did you think of the other creatures in Kong?
Because, not a huge fan.
Yeah,
I don't know. Like, it's that same argument I have with dragons. Like, I like my reptiles to have four legs. I don't know why, but it's just like that whole dragging the tail behind thing doesn't do it for me.
Some dragons have four legs.
Yeah, like, but that's what I mean. Like, I prefer my dragons to have, you know, for, like, I like the, even if it's just, like, legs attached to the wings,
yeah.
I prefer, you know, and they have big hind legs.
Yeah, I didn't understand why the skull crawlers had just two giant arms, and then,
yeah,
that was weird. I like their heads. Those were cool.
They literally had, like, this casing, skull-like casing outside.
Yeah, I didn't understand that, but the other creatures in it, I liked the spider.
That was awesome.
That was very cool. And I even liked the little, whatever, like, moose-looking antelope.
Yeah.
I don't know what it was. Even those were cool. So.
Was this rated R?
You know, I don't know.
Because there was some F-bombs and a lot of S-bombs, and then that dude getting impaled down the throat by that spider was
pretty
graphic.
Yeah. I don't know. We're going up. But yeah, I like the other creature design better than I did in Godzilla, besides the main evil creature, Skullcrawler thing. I didn't like those either, but everybody else, I thought they did a good job on.
Because you can't really mess up Kong.
Even like the bug that looks like a log.
That was fun. So this guy is sitting on a log, and he gets up, and it's a stick bug, basically a giant version of a stick bug. And he shoots it a couple of times, and it looks so hurt. Like, it doesn't kill it. He's just like, and just kind of walks away. Like, you hurt my feelings. You were sitting on me, and then you just shoot. Yeah.
Well, I could have reacted because that skull crawler was coming after that. But, yeah, that was. I did like that creature. That creature design was awesome.
Mm.
It's just the main, the skull crawlers weren't very good.
Yeah, I agree. I wasn't a huge fan of, like I said, I don't like the dragging the tail. It's not a, like, a survivable evolutionary trait. Like, things evolve from that.
Yeah, well,
you know?
if you were living underground, like they say they were.
True, it wouldn't matter.
Maybe they didn't need it.
It helps you tunnel more.
Yeah,
better.
They're more like a snake that can, and then they have their arms to dig or something. I don't know.
Yeah.
But whoever designed it, it made sense to them.
So. Exactly. And they make a lot more money than I do. I guess we better get down to the nitty gritty. I threw out a Twitter question, and I asked, with the upcoming Kong versus Godzilla, who do you all have your money on? It was 86% Godzilla.
He can shoot fire.
He can. I want to ask you that same question. Who do you have your money on, sir?
based upon what I've seen from the movies, or
let's take all factors.
Trying to make them even.
Everything, and you know, Kong's a baby, has some growing to do before he fights Godzilla. Let's take all that into, you know.
And Kong can't use any human-made objects as weapons.
Yes, he can, because that is one of the advantages of a gorilla. Because think of a gorilla in the wild. If a lion attacked a gorilla, which is another debate I have, people say lions are king of the jungle. Screw that. A silverback gorilla can take a lion at any given moment. I'm sorry. But yeah, that's the advantage of an ape. Like, it can, it's smart enough to use tools and weapons and do that, you know. I think. I could be wrong, but
I would say that's a real toss up for me. I would say that Kong would have the advantage, because if it's just like if it's a level playing field,
yes,
and there's no other stuff involved, I still think Kong would have a slight advantage just because of his body type.
Yes,
because Kong is so, or not Kong, but Godzilla is so kind of lumbersome.
T-Rex-ish.
Yeah, he's not a scrapper. He's just like a big tank thing that can take some damage and then maybe shoot some fire at you.
Yeah.
So if he can get up, if he can avoid the fire.
Yeah, if Kong sees that flame once, he's going to know that tail charging means I need to get out of his mouth way.
So I think on a level playing field, Kong would have the advantage.
Okay.
What do you think?
I'm going to be in agreement, because like I said, and like you just said, the T-Rex scene in the old Kong was an amazing fight, and I think showed, like you said, Godzilla has that same build. His arms are a bit longer, of course, but I think Kong, like, he had the advantage over them because of his, you know, the way he can use his body compared to Godzilla. And he is, as we've seen, getting training against things with whipping tails and things like that. He's fighting, like, constantly now. I think he, in my opinion, and not because I love Kong, I think he would definitely pull off the W.
You even see him in this movie, like, jumping from mountain to mountain.
Yes.
So if he's running at Godzilla and he turns to whip him with the tail, he's going to jump over that and just jump on his back and, you know, strangle him or something.
He's going to put him in a rear neck and choke. I can see Kong doing that. Ronda Rousey, somebody. Old Ronda Rousey.
Oh. I don't know if you could armbar Godzilla. That would be, because he's got such little arms. But King Kong has little legs, so it might work out in the right position to armbar Godzilla.
Yeah. And like we said, and like I said, he's smart enough to know, like, if I'm going down and I'm getting too overwhelmed, I can pick up something. I can use this. I can, you know, do something to gain advantage, which he does in Kong Skull Island. Like, he's like, oh man, this is a weapon. It basically makes a mace, you know? Yeah, so, which I still, when they were fighting, when the big one first comes out, like, he gets Kong down, and then we just see him lumbering out of the woods. Like, why didn't he just bite Kong's face right then?
Kong was wrapped up in the chains?
No. Back when Kong, after the soldiers ambushed Kong, and they burned him with the napalm, and he was just laying on the ground, Big Thing came out and put its foot on Kong's face and just screamed at the soldiers as they went running in the woods.
I mean, you think Kong was a threat at the time because he was down.
True. I guess, so I have to think animal.
The little moving things. He was like, I don't want to eat those or something. I don't know. But yeah. I wanted to mention that scene where Kong is... He falls into the water and somehow immediately gets tangled in a whole bunch of chains, which I don't get why.
I don't either.
And then the thing jumps on him.
The sound effects were off too. Like, not off, but they, instead of sounding like chains breaking, it sounded like a wire tension breaking. Mm-hmm. I don't know if that makes sense, but that's just something I picked up.
Maybe because he was so big and he was stretching on him that they broke like that.
Mike Smith, gotcha.
Yeah, maybe. I don't know. I'm just trying to figure out what they were thinking, but
Ape's Advocate.
Yeah, that scene where he got tangled up, I didn't really feel was, I don't know. It looked more like a metaphor than it was like something that actually happened.
Like,
but I like how he did use the chain and the little propeller from the ship to the weapon. That was cool.
It kind of reminded me to Pacific Rim. Mm-hmm. All of a sudden, you see the dragging a freaking ship behind him. But
yeah,
which I would love to see because Legendary does own Pacific Rim. So Godzilla Kong versus Pacific Rim robots, man. but yeah, I'll be curious to see how they get him, how they meet, or will they fight on Skull Island, or, you know, that's something I'm looking forward to. So you're honestly not looking forward to...
I want to see a giant monster movie with all these things in it. Yes. I just don't want to see Kong versus Godzilla because I look at them both as a hero.
Which you're right, yeah.
Which I guess it's the same thing as seeing Superman versus Batman. I guess you...
I hope it doesn't end that way.
You both see them as a hero, but then they end up working together.
Yeah, so. I don't want a versus like that again. Too many versus.
You don't
want
to see two heroes against each other then work together?
If you're going to verse, you're going to verse. And you're going to fight until somebody's dead or can't move.
You want Kong Kong, either King Kong or Godzilla to die. Why can't I say King Kong? You're going to try to say King Kong. It comes out weird.
I do.
You want to see one of them die?
I mean, I know they won't because they want to continue it on, but...
Well, they mentioned at the end of the movie later, so like Mothra. They mentioned this big Hydra thing.
There is an after-credit scene if you guys want to stay after, if you have not seen it. It's probably online by now, but... Sorry, go ahead.
There's like a Hydra-looking thing with multiple heads.
Yeah, I'm trying to remember. Cause I used to watch all those old monster movies. There was Martha... Mechagodzilla.
Bunches. I can't remember.
That. Yeah, there's so many, but that Hydra thing
it looked like it was bigger than even Godzilla in the little painting that they showed, or if it was a painting, I can't remember.
Yeah, okay, painting. Yeah.
So I'm thinking maybe those two things are going to end up teaming up against
it.
A bigger thing. That's I don't want to see. I think it'll, I don't know. I don't want to see King Kong or Godzilla
against each other.
I'm fine with like a giant moth, you know. You can throw a giant moth in there and let them beat that up or something.
Martha, yeah. Mothra.
Why would you?
I just hate those versus movies to where, and they all end this way because it's hero versus hero. They're all like, you're going to have Kong have Godzilla down, and Godzilla will be like, my mother's name Martha, save her. And Kong will be like, Martha, mine's too.
What about Freddy versus Jason? That doesn't really end like that.
You're right. Jason just beheads him, doesn't he? Yeah. And walk away with his head. But he winks.
Yeah.
So then...
it's okay.
I don't know. I guess for the sake of seeing more of both of them in this franchise, which I think they just pulled basically an Avengers. Like, they've put together the makings of several big mashup, monster mashups.
If they do that, if they try to root them against each other, then what the studios end up doing is like alienating one fan from another. Like people who are fans of like Godzilla would be like excited if he wins, but you know, they're gonna piss off every Kong fan. I mean, you don't have to, they wanna be right in the middle and make everybody happy. So I think it's gonna be real PC if they do
just movies. Like Captain Iron Man. Well, be a bigger threat. I guess, man. I guess I'll get on this positive bandwagon of monsters. But yeah, I'm looking forward to what they're doing, even though I think they know where they messed up with Godzilla.
Mm-hmm.
And now, once they put these two together, unless they wanted Godzilla to be, they could have wanted him to be this dark, menacing guy. But if that was the case, they kind of did make him the big-time hero, because they did put Godzilla King of Monsters at the very end, which I didn't like because he's literally King Kong, so clearly he's King of Monsters.
Mm-hmm.
That's all I'm saying. but Kong Skull Island, anything else about this one?
No, it's a good movie. Go watch it.
Very, very good movie. Who's the girl? I don't know if I've seen her before.
I've seen her in movies before. I can't remember her name.
I probably have, of course, but...
Oh, yeah, she's been in quite a bit.
Yeah. But yeah, Kong Skull Island, go watch it, guys. That'll bring us to suggestions. You want to go first, sir?
Sure. This is one, actually, that you introduced me to.
Uh-oh.
So it was Troll Hunter, sticking with the theme of giant monsters.
I love it.
Didn't know about this movie until you told me about it, and I'm glad you did, because I absolutely love it. I watched it a few times now. The special effects aren't like Godzilla or Kong Skull Island quality, but I think they still stand up to it. Because you watch it, you kind of, I don't know if you're the same way that I am, you kind of forget things sometimes. Like, if you're watching a movie with subtitles, you kind of forget you're reading subtitles after a while.
Yeah, after a while, you just
and when the special effects are kind of not perfect, but they're still pretty good, you kind of forget that. Mm-hmm. You know, and this movie, for all of its shortcomings, uses a little to do a lot. And yes. I think this is a great movie.
Yeah, I agree. They even come up with, like, a whole troll species system, mm-hmm. which is just so cool. I love that aspect. I had two here, but since this is the monster episode, I'll go with, I think I wrote down the wrong thing, but I put Victor Frankenstein. This is the last one with James McAvoy and Daniel Radcliffe.
I haven't seen that one yet.
This monster is in nowhere the league, the ones we just mentioned. The monster, this is a good one. Like, these two actors, and I don't think it did very well in theaters, but these two actors are, as always, great. They both, Daniel Radcliffe's character plays Igor, he is Igor, that's his character. What's up? But yeah, and McAvoy pulls off crazy, like, you know, this crazy scientist who needs to get this done, driven to do it. But yeah, Victor Frankenstein, I believe it's called. I might have wrote the wrong thing down, but yeah.
Nice.
And that's suggestions.
You got a question for you?
Yes.
If we were to do, I know we've done our Big Bad Guy Challenge, but if we were to do the Biggest Monster Challenge, and you had to pick one, who would you pick for the number one giant monster?
So I'm trying
to... Biggest, baddest... Doesn't have to be a villain, but just the biggest, baddest giant monster. I know that's a tough one.
I'm trying to think of other giant monsters other than the big two. Mm-hmm. You have the Pacific Rim guys, but they, Okay, so I'm going to go ahead. This is a late mental story here.
Okay.
When I was a kiddo, I would hang out in the library a lot. Yes, I was a nerd. But I stumbled across the monster section. And, what I found to be the monster section, there were these old orange and black books. I'm not sure what the series was called. But there was Frankenstein, Creature from the Black Lagoon, and then King Kong. And this was the 1930s version in picture book form, and for whatever reason he just caught my attention so much, and probably formed why I love Silverback Gorilla so much. But yeah, I still think, because Kong is so human, I think he kind of has that advantage over a lot of the big monsters. But yeah, I'll go with Kong. How about you, sir?
Actually, I'm in complete agreement with you. I go Kong too.
Yeah,
it's probably one of my favorite. I think it's because he's so human.
Yeah.
It's relatable. And
like I said, like, silverback gorillas in the wild are, like, they're super highly intelligent creatures. Like, I went to, I forgot where I was, but I saw there was this, it was a zoo of some sort because they had silverback gorillas, but there was this mob of gorillas, like four or five of them, on top of a hill. And there was one down by itself. And every time this one by itself tried to go up past them, they would just, like, burr up at him, and he would run back down the hill. So he grabbed a rock probably the size of my head. I have a big head. And tossed it at the tree right next to him. It hit, and they all circled the tree, and he just took off running past him. Like, that's how smart these things are, Like, that's, yeah. But, yeah, Kong. Kong is the king. It's in his name. King Kong. Yeah. So that is Go Watch a Movie for this week, ladies and gentlemen. Go ahead and tell us where you can. I will tell you where you can find us. GoWatchAMovie.com. It's a home for the podcast and Robert's Review Corner, which, if you have not checked it out, please do. He does some great reviews on there. Most importantly, the podcast is there. You can find it and hear us and get caught up on what we're skipping this week, the Bad Guy Movie Challenge. The bracket is on there, and it is updated. You can also see the trailers we mentioned on there. I always, now recently, started putting those up on there. You can find us on iTunes, in which I hope you subscribe and leave a review. Twitter, Go Watch a Movie. Facebook, Go Watch a Movie, Stitcher, and just about anywhere else a podcast can be heard. That is Go Watch a Movie this week. I'm Kelvin.
And I'm Robert.
Go watch a movie.